Turn to the book of Proverbs tonight. Book of Proverbs, once again. We've made our way to chapter 5. We're really trucking through this. Right? You know, we're here for... We're just going to be studying this book till the Lord comes back anyway. Amen? So that's it. So Proverbs chapter 5, this is a little bit different. You have one of those. Do you have those next one with you? You got next one? I took mine back there and then I left it. I thought I'm not going to need it, but sometimes I need to make sure I give you all the blanks. I try to get less material, and I just can't. I don't know. Well, it's a discipline I'm going to keep working on. So, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Bible says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear unto my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." So he starts with this. I title this, "Listen Up." Listen up. Listen. Listen, the Proverbs deal with a lot of the same type of material, right? We talked about that last week. There's a lot of redundancy. He just deals with the same type of material. And yet it's so much, it's about receiving wisdom that's being given. That's really what it's about. And here, Solomon, again, instructs his son to attend. That's how he starts this. Attend, meaning this, to give attention, right? He said, listen, give attention. Listen up. And we might say, hey, listen up, right? That's how we might, hey, son, listen up. That's how we might say. But here he's saying, attend, pay attention, what I got to say. So, here, another word is introduced to us here, and that is bow. Bow. Now, the instruction is to bow thine ear. Of course, when we think about bowing, we're talking about bending down, and it doesn't mean that. It means to sometimes it means to put our face down, but it means to this thing. But to bow your ear means to let it curl. No, I mean, but really, it's given this idea, though. This gives us the idea of reaching out, to stretch forth, is the blank there. To stretch forth or to extend. He said this. He said not only to pay attention, but he said reach out. Bow your ear, right? Reach out for this. What I'm going to give you is something that's important. This is a topic that you'd better give extra effort to get a hold of. Okay? Now, this is also a topic that Solomon spends a lot of time in the Proverbs dealing with. What we're going to look at here tonight. Under that, it's more than to hear it. Okay? This bow your ear is more than hearing it. It really is this, it's to apply it. To apply it. Keep your place there. If you want to turn real quick, I'm just going to go quickly over there. Proverbs 22 and verse 17. It says this, he uses this phrase again. He says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." And so when he's talking about this thing about bowing your ear to reach forth and to stretch out, he says, listen, I want you to hear this in a way that you're going to have to reuse it. Like, I've been in classes where the teacher lectures you, but then they're going to pass out some notes for the test. And so while they're lecturing, you're like, You're kind of zoned out. You're looking at them. Maybe your head's going, but you ain't registering because, you don't have to. Because later on, you're going to look at somebody. You got a friend that's going to give you study notes. Right? That's a good friend. It's a good friend. And so... But here he said, listen, I don't want you to just give me the nodding. I don't want you to just go along. He said, I want you to reach out and grab a hold of this like something that you're going to have to apply. Okay? Something you're going to have to do something. By the way, we should always receive the Word of God like that. I think we're in this day of we've got an overload of information. we make a habit of not really dealing with it. It's like, oh, that was good. That's good. Preach out. That was a good message. Which part? Well, you know, just the whole thing. Just the, all of it. You know, it's good. I feel good. And you know, so what you're going to do with that message? You know, just gonna, it's good. You know what I mean? We kind of, I'm guilty of that sometimes too. I'm like, man, so what did you preach on this morning? Jesus? You know what I mean? And we kind of make a habit of not really dealing with it here. So B, reach for it on purpose. Reach for it on purpose. Okay, we're back in chapter 5. So reach for it on purpose. So this is kind of what this phrase is talking about. Verse 2, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Listen, we need this instruction to keep our purpose. Okay, and here's what he's saying. This is this thing of this discretion. It's really this word of it, the word discretion is the meaning of being on purpose and keeping on task, if we might say it another way. It's kind of what we say. Sometimes you ever just kind of, you know, start chasing butterflies? You know what I mean? I mean, not literally chasing butterflies, but in the way you're just doing something, you're like, you get sidetracked. You know, next he said, listen, and we can do that in our spiritual life. And we can do that in our life and think, and then we get, and he said, listen, this, you need to get this so you can keep on purpose, keep on track. So, A, this is one of the meanings of discretion, to live on purpose. Not a life we'll just see whatever comes, but a life that's on purpose. You see, it's a direction. Obviously, that purpose is to live for the Lord. Amen. That's obviously what our purpose is. But if we're going to follow this purpose, if we're going to keep in this purpose, then we're going to have to hear some wisdom. We're going to have to hear some things. And this is what the Solomon is trying to give to his sons. And God wants to give it to us. We're going to mention that in a moment. But number two, strange women. I'm talking about strange women tonight. Look at verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So, the issue that Solomon warns his son about here is strange women. Okay, strange women. This is a topic, and I mentioned already, but this is a topic that is dealt with a lot by Solomon throughout the Proverbs. It's really quite interesting how much he deals with this. It's a problem. Two reasons, maybe. I don't know. I'm saying maybe. Listen, let me just say right here. I mentioned it this way, and I say it this way a lot because I want us to keep it as God gives. But let's never miss this fact that this is the inspired Word of God. Amen? So God is giving this to us. There's a lot of other things that were written. Even by Solomon, a lot of other things that are written, they're gone. They're dirt now. They're worm. I mean, the worms, it's gone. It's nothing. It's gone. But this is what God inspired. It's God breathed. God said. So this is God using Solomon to pass this with his wisdom on to us. Right? So a lot of times when I'm saying Solomon to his son, I'm really, that's who God used, and for that instance, and we need to keep it in context of that instance, but it's also for all of us. Okay? Man, I'm glad I wasn't his son. You know what I mean? No, we are his son. And so he's giving it to us. So let's don't ever mistake me talking about the actual context that's written, because it is written in that context, but it's also written in the context of God giving it to all of us. So this is, as I mentioned, this Solomon deals with this a lot. This is a great warning and instruction from the Lord to us. So, number two, the strange woman isn't talking about the color of her hair or her body piercings or some sort of thing. Man, that's a strange woman. You know, it's not talking about that. It's not talking about her character or this and some of those things. This term is meaning primarily a woman that doesn't belong to you. Okay? By the way, he's writing this to his son. Okay, this is written to men. Okay, so it has nothing to do for the ladies, right? No, that's not how the Bible works. But he is directing it to the men, because if we didn't get that, the whole context would be weird, right? But he says this term, the strange woman, is it's often the term was used of harlots, of prostitutes, but also of another man's wife. Okay? Wasn't just a harlot or just a prostitute. Also a strange woman is a woman that just doesn't belong to you. Somebody else's woman. Right? It's in that respect. So B, this strange woman is enticing. Enticing. The strange woman is enticing. Her lips, it talks about, meaning her words, right? It's not talking about, you know, a lot of times the body uses these similes, but it's talking about the lips, the words coming out, not her actual lips of kissing or something like that. It's talking about her lips, what the words coming out, they drop like honey. Y'all like honey? Yeah, y'all like sweet stuff? Y'all like sweets? You know, it's funny, in Sri Lanka, they didn't like any of our food. Our food was weird to them, but they loved all of our sweets. The body just craves sugar, right? You know, it's just something about it. Especially now in this day that this was written, you know, we're talking about 1,000 years before Christ. We find that this honey would have been the sweetest. That was when you talked about something sweet. It was honey, right? Maybe they didn't have the cane sugar. I don't know, but this was common. We find in the Bible, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, right? So this is the description. And so so it's talking about this woman and this strange woman of how she's speaking her words. She's sweet. She says sweet things, telling nice and lovely things. You know what I'm saying? She says, oh, that's a, you know, you're looking nice today, or that's nice, or she's. You're so, oh, stop. Right? You see what I'm saying? There's this dripping like honey that's like, that kind of can make a guy feel good about himself, right? Oh, and then get this kind of like, I like this thing. And then she's be making you feel important, special, and heard. Who doesn't want to be made felt important, special? We like this, and so this strange woman says these things, and but also says here that her mouth is smooth as oil. Just pleasant to talk to. You know, I wish my wife was nice like her. Do you see what I'm saying? This is this kind of man. She just, everything she said, and I'm not mean that my wife is, I'm making an illustration. Don't get into that. But this is the context. It's, man, it's just smooth. Just, man, I just like being around her. She just, you know, pleasant to talk to. Like, it's like she enjoys being around me, and I enjoy being around her. You know, Some guys will have, which I detest this phraseology, but I'm going to say it, but they'll call it, they have their work wife. We're kind of at work, we're like this. No, stop it. I'm going to get into the, I got ahead of stop it, because now I'm doing the description. I'm going to get to the stop it later. Sorry. Let's get back to it. Okay, B. Her words are a salve, right? Healing. See, her mouth is like oil. You see, he's given this description of this strange woman. He says, son, listen, you're going to need to keep on purpose. If you're going to keep on purpose, listen, you know, that's never going to happen to me. Nobody's going to treat me like that. Oh, yeah? That's what a lot of guys that used to be married said. That's a lot of guys that have went down a slippery road, said, no, it'll be fine for me. Listen, don't lose your discretion. We mentioned that already. Look at verse 4. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Listen, number one, this strange woman will bring bitterness, then pain. Okay? I'll tell you, this isn't a lovely thing, this wormwood. Hey, this wormwood is like a poison. It's like a poison. I try to look up and find out exactly what this wormwood is. It's something that's always described in the Bible as something that would be bitter and sour and would turn your... Not like, sour gummy thing. Like, you know, not like some kind of... I like sweet tarts. You know, they're kind of a little bit... No, not like that. Like something that turns your stomach and makes you sick. Whoa, wait a minute. For a minute ago, she was honey. But that honey gets down into your life. It's bitter wood. You know, it's this wormwood. It's bitter. It's like a poison. B, the sweetness that seemed to be there turns into bitterness. But he also says it's a two-edged sword. There's no safe side to a two-edged sword, right? There's no safe side. Can you turn that around and get the dull side? No, it's two-edged. That's the whole idea. It is going to be painful. It's going to be very painful to encounter. This is what he said. Listen, this is going to be sweet. It's going to be smooth. It's going to be all the things that you would think that you want, but it's not. It's not. D, she's just terrible. She's just terrible. Look at verse 6. Lest thou shouldest ponder... Did I not do verse 5? Let's just go and get verse 5. Her feet go down to death. That's where I was supposed to head. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. That's where I got. She's terrible. This is not a good woman. Not a good woman. You understand? This is not somebody that you want to mingle with. Her feet go down to death. That doesn't sound like somebody I want to hang out with. Wait a minute. I thought she was sweet. No. The end is different. And then verse 6, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. Thou canst not know them. Man, do not think for a moment that you can resist what others before you could not. No, I'll be fine. No, you don't know her. No, I know her. We're like, you know, she just gets me. We're just... I can remember a friend of mine came and he said, you know, it just, the lady said, you know, my husband's leaving me. What do you mean he's leaving me? You know, he says, yeah, this good Christian folks, my husband's leaving me. Yeah, he came home and said, you know, we're done, I'm out. And he just walked away. So I go talk to him and say, hey, brother, what's going on? He said, well, you know, this girl, you know, met her, just, you know. You know what happened? They had some problems at home, you know, like average marriage. You know, you go through struggles, right? Challenges, growth, right? To grow goes through some pain. It's just, that's kind of what life is about. And they're going through some things. But at that time that he was weak, he had this lady that he worked with, sweet girl. By the way, she probably was a sweet girl. In the honey sweet kind of way, in the oil, mouth like oil kind of sweet way, and just kind of, you know, he said things, you know, my wife doesn't appreciate me, but that she appreciates me. And he's going down this thing. She decides to leave her husband. He decides to leave his wife, and they're going to go have this happy ever after. You know how long happy ever after lasted? I don't know if it lasted a month. Just didn't last. Because you know what happened? Here's what happened to her. He was the sweet and the smooth. And they found himself in this place that's like, whew, this is going to be so good. You know what they found? Bitterness. wormwood. I asked him, I said, brother, what are you doing? I mean, what about your family? He said, you know what, I'm just going to step away from my marriage. I'm going to spend some time focusing on my children. Like, are you out of your mind? That's not how that works. I'm going to leave the wife of my youth, and I'm going to go and go with this thing, but I'm going to focus on my children. It just makes us dumb, doesn't it? Man, it's just you're not better than every other man before you. He said, please listen well to this wisdom. I feel like this was Solomon. Look at verse 7. Hear me now, therefore. I feel like he's just saying, listen to me now. Please get this. Please get this. O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come nigh the door of her house. I'm sorry, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. That doesn't sound pleasant. You say, listen, please listen to this. He's going to deal with it. We're going to get back to this stuff again when we get through the problem. He just deals with it because it's such a big deal. So look here, I want to talk about biblical instruction. Biblical instruction. Verse 8. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. So, he says, number one, this. Remove thy way far from her. Hey, do not put yourself in a position to be in the claws of a strange woman. Listen, how do I know she's a strange woman? Kind of hard, isn't it? How do I know she's the strange woman? Well, is she yours? Okay, look here. Number two, do not even get close to her door. I mean, he uses this phraseology here. Remove thy way far from her. I mean, and don't even come nigh to her door. It's like listen, this is a warning to keep yourself at a safe distance. Okay, look here. Number three, I have to get through this a little bit because this is a message together. I want to get through this so I can slow down here and get to this point. I didn't want to run out of time here. Number three, practical advice. I want to give some practical advice here, okay, based on what we're seeing here. A, do not be alone with a strange woman. Do not be alone with a strange woman. You know what that's called? Stupid. I said, well, that's a little harsh. It's harsh because it's so needed. Don't be alone with a strange woman. Listen, don't be a strange woman that's alone with men. I think that could be, you know, let's see that. Don't be alone in that place. That's be far from them. Listen, let's keep a distance. Listen, let's be in a crowd. You know, number two, or B, do not get too familiar with a strange woman. I'm trying to give some practical advice here, okay? I'm trying to say, how do we practically follow this biblical message, this biblical truth here, this biblical instruction? How do we practically follow it? Well, I think one thing is don't be alone. Well, I don't. I think I'm fine. So did a lot of other guys. A lot of guys did. Don't get too familiar with somebody else's wife. Okay, don't get too familiar, and wives, don't get too familiar with somebody else, because you're already somebody's wife. Don't get too familiar. I think a really, really good practice, policy and practice is don't talk about your spouse negatively to other people. There's no value. Yeah, she doesn't cook for me, and you know, I don't have to do this. I have to. Well, I can cook for you if you want me to. Yeah, right. Listen, I'll tell you, you make a habit of not speaking negatively about your spouse and instead speaking positively, you know what's going to happen? That the strange woman is going to want to come around. right? By the way, we could call it. I think it's okay to, you could add this the opposite way too. There's some strange men. Y'all like, you know, that's right. I think anybody who wants to do this puts themselves in that kind of category. Don't be too familiar. You know, when I say too familiar, there's things, let's don't get too private. You know something I think is really weird? When somebody wants to get over here and talk personally, want to talk where nobody else can hear you, right? They want to get next to you where nobody else can hear what you say. No, no, I want, if somebody does that, let's go back. What did he say, verse 8? He says, remove the highway far from her, right? Let's keep the strange. By the way, it doesn't mean we're not friends with people. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I don't think that's what he says either. But the difference is we're not going to, listen, I'm not trying to have a private relationship with another man's wife. Well, I'm a pastor. I can handle that. That's dumb. That's dumb. I don't want to put myself in a place of danger. It's like, well, so you think like that? No, I think like this. I want to take the warning. Who do I think I am? Right? Who do I think I am that's different than what the warning is there? Well, I've done this before. Okay. So now it's becoming easier, huh? Right? So, don't be alone with a strange woman. Don't get too familiar with a strange woman. Listen, don't even appear to be too friendly with a strange woman. That's kind of what I would say on that. With that be, don't even appear like, well, we're just like brother and sister. I know a lot of people that said that got married. No, they did. Oh, we're just like brother and sister. We're hanging out. I'm like, I've not seen a brother. I don't do that with my sister. You know what I mean? I can remember this couple. They was in church with us, and she would come up and rub his shoulders in the back pew. She's rubbing. I'm like, just stop. It's like, no, we're just. I'm like, that's not. No, we're just like brother and sister. They got married, had a few couple kids. Down the road, I'm just saying, they're divorced now. Okay, I'm just saying. Listen, people, we're just like brother. No, don't. Don't do that. I mean, these were both single people, but it was still, it wasn't something. But let's don't mix that up thinking we're okay. See, friendships should be developed with the couple. With the couple. Men, be better friends with the man than the woman. Well, we're just better together. I just, you know, a guy said, you know, we're like this. So? We're talking about a strange woman. We're talking about how to keep the discretion, how to keep the purpose in our life. Listen, men, if you got a couple, we like hanging out with other people. That's fine. We're not talking about not being friendly. Don't misunderstand. But I'm going to be friendly. Why the feller is there with his wife? Matter of fact, when he leaves the room, I'm going to kind of be a little bit less talkative. When he comes back, then we can, right? You know, if I'm not going to be friends with him and I just want to be friends with his wife, something's wrong with, you see? See, this is the thing here. And then D, stay out of their cars alone. Stay out of their cars alone. By the way, this is practical advice. This isn't, you say, is this a law? Where do you find that? I'm just giving some practical advice. How to do verse 8, which is to remove thy way far from her and not come nigh to the door of her house. Listen, you want to find out how not to get that close? By the way, these aren't laws. You say, pastor said not to do that. So if you do that, I'm going to tell on you. No, these aren't laws. Y'all understand tonight? Amen? Nobody's going to go home. Pastor said, here's the law. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm giving some advice how to fulfill what he's saying, how to keep ourselves to follow that, be safe. To stay. Listen, Solomon said, this is a dangerous area. Dangerous area. F, there will be 100 reasons why we cannot follow this advice. There'll be a lot of reasons why we can't follow this advice. But I want to follow up with these verses. Look at verse 12. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. You know what he said? No, I don't need to do that. I'm going to be fine. We're fine right up until we're not fine. Listen, we don't need to make new laws for ourselves, but we need to have some discretion to keep ourselves on track. Let me get to this last part. We're almost done here. Number three, the solution. The solution. Verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Listen, here's what he said. Hey, get your own woman. That's what he says. It's really what it's talking about. Get your own sister. Get your own place. You know, the Bible in the New Testament says it's better to marry than burn. Right? He said, listen, get your own wife is what he's saying. Number one, the solution to adultery is to get married and stay away from another man's wife. Look at verse 17. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Listen, this is the solution to the man. He said, listen, don't go get your own wife and have your relationship with your own wife. This is the Lord's instruction. Verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Listen, ladies, if you have a husband, work to develop the relationship, to develop that relationship. Only let him meet your needs. Well, I'm with this guy. He's kind of a jerk. Right? He doesn't. And I'm not saying that's for us in this. Listen, this is truth that I want you to pass on as well. Amen? Amen? Y'all get that? It's not, you say, well, this doesn't even apply to me. I'm not married. You want to know that we're not just getting this for us. We're getting this to have something to do with this. We're going to passing on wisdom, right? And he said, listen here, you might say, well, my husband, he just doesn't. Well, listen, develop that thing. Don't look for your needs to be met by some other fellow. You say, well, I've tried, he's never going to get there. Well, you married him. You're stuck. Well, I wish I was too late. Same way for you. Guys, my wife, she doesn't care. Tough. That's who, you want to be right with God. Let's you want to get on that discretion, that purpose. Let's develop that relationship to where it can learn to meet my needs. And maybe if I would focus my purpose on that, then what would meet my needs would be different than what my needs were. Maybe what would meet my need is just to be right with God and have that relationship and go into that way. Listen, so women, that was to the ladies. If you have one, work to develop. Men, this is instruction to us. It was actually directed to men. We see that. Sons, it's directed to men. Verse 23, here's what he said. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. There's no good end to this. So what you said, preacher, why are you preaching on that? Because it's chapter 5. Okay? That's why you say you think that's a problem. I think it's chapter 5. I think it's what's next. And I would be a fool to say in this day we have more pornography available in our society than ever. Almost every, this is an interesting statistic I've seen. I don't know exactly the number, but I read it some time back of the mass murderers, the school murder. Almost all of them were into pornography. Why do we connect that? I don't know. They just did. They connected. It's just something starts going wrong in the heart and lusting after these things, and it causes the whole mind to be corrupt. And so God is trying to get us. He said, listen, here's the thing. Get discretion when we focus on this. And then so two things I want to say this for us. Let's do that for us. Amen. Personally, I need that. Second, what else? There's somebody else maybe in your life. You don't need to give them new laws. Listen to what I'm saying to you, and I'm going to be done. We're not trying to give people new laws, but we're trying to give them some advice how to follow the Word of God. If you make what my advice a law, we're going to be Pharisaical and we're going to be in trouble. Okay? So, but what we want to do is say, God said a lot of things about this. So let's start here. Let's just be cautious and make some boundaries in your life. There ought to be some things that you won't do for Jesus. There ought to be some things you won't do for Jesus. Sorry, I don't do that. Well, you know, this hurry, this emergency. I don't do it. Well, that's just crazy. I know. But chapter 5, verse 8 kind of just tells me I need to just keep some distance far from you, crazy woman. No, strange woman. And I don't want to go now. I've got to have those boundaries because that's the way I'm going to, I'm going to call my wife up. Hey, can you come with me? Right? That's what we do. That's what we do. Father, I pray that you'd help us with this truth from your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in our own lives. Lord, help us never to think there's a time in our life that this is beyond us. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart and a willingness as Solomon passed it to his sons. Lord, we'd pass these same truths on to those around us. This is such a slippery, slippery slope. It seems sweet, but it's bitter. The end is going astray. Lord, so many people in our nation, in our world, are lost, drawn, gone astray from you because of this terrible sin. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take your word and we'd apply it. Well, thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.